Malchus are the place where there is a chisoin in the Bria. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a Bria. By nature, by definition, since the Bria is limited, and there are, where the Bria comes to an end, there is Makom Chisoin that he calls, there is something lacking, and those areas are where the chisoin is. The mashal we gave is like a person has a garment. The garment is strong, except that the edges is where it unravels, because the teva is that things unravel at where they stop. There's no more from at the point where beged meets no beged is where you get the chisoin. Now he's going to explain why dalet malchus, why four. Lekach amud dalet bayos. Lekach malchus huayu sheyu dalet. Ki malchus hem yitzio mikvode yisbarach. V'hu yisbarach echot. V'em tsoi u'misyached el echot. U'misyaches el echot. Kasher em tsoi bifrat hu echot. When you're picturing an entity that has in itself the center or the thing itself and where things are going out from it, you get one versus four. In other words, let's take a picture of the garment. The closer you get to the center of the garment, so to speak, is where the garment is centered at. That's where you have the garment. As you leave the middle of the garment and you go outwards, you can go in four different directions. Because any place on a surface, on the earth, the world that we have, that you're going away from the center, there you have four directions. The compass has four directions, and even on the earth, which is a globe, we can only travel in basically four directions. So anytime we're looking at an outward direction, it's four. Anytime we're looking at an inward direction, is one. So most everything that is an inward direction is towards the middle, and it is one. That's the kilu, just like even on a physical object, the midpoint is usually where you can balance the whole thing. The center of gravity, so to speak, is where you can put your finger underneath it and balance the whole thing at one point. It acts as if all the weight was concentrated on one point. So the point of middle, what's called emtsoi, is the most essential feature of the thing itself, and that is HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the world. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is one. So since the center point is where all points converge to become one point, that's Kila HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's one. And the direction outwards is any one of a combination of four directions. So in how many ways can travel away from the center in four different directions? So the HaKadosh Baruch Hu is one. V'hem tzoy u'misyaches le'el echot. Anything that's in the middle. And that's why the word l'mashal, Chazal that speak about the word middle should be understood like that. It says Yerushalayim is the middle of the world. What does it mean? Eretz Yisrael is the middle of the world, Yerushalayim is the middle of Eretz Yisrael, basically the middle of Yerushalayim. It doesn't mean a geographical middle, A, because on a globe, everything's a middle. There's no point that you can't get a midpoint. But rather, it's the focus point where everything becomes one and not separate units. Let me give you another example. It's important to get examples of different areas because he's dealing with a concept here. He's dealing with an idea that takes place in different things, and it's true in a lot of different worlds. Let's say you have a big manufacturing plant, and the question is, where is the middle of that manufacturing plant? Obviously, not talking about the square middle, just measure the building. That's a meaningless entity. So we say like this. This manufacturing plant has a lot of different departments. One place is a PR department, and they're dressed very nicely, and they're very pleasant to you, and please come in, and let me show you around. The security, it's very brusque, and they say, who are you? What are you doing here? What's your business here? Why are you here for? There's a marketing department which calls up people and the sweetest tone of voice says, would you like to see our product? Anytime it's convenient for you, we'll come over, we'll show you in this net. There's an ordering department that is always picking up the phone very angry and saying, where's the order? It's a day late and you promised to be on time and we're going to cancel on you in this net. They're all different departments and different attitudes and different types of people and so on and so forth. The place where everything is going to snap together, where there's one place in the factory that is running all the departments in harmony. In other words, how much stuff has to be ordered, how much stuff has to be sold, where the manufacturing takes place. The one point that one department that coordinates all the other departments is going to be the center. And in that, and so that is where the picture comes into focus. Just like when you have a lens that's blurred, you see a lot of copies of what you're looking at. And then when it comes, when it crashes the focus, you see one thing. In the factory, every department can see something else. And the place where all of them snap together, you say, ah, it's one picture. It's a place that manufactures shoes. So they got to order leather from here and make sure it comes in time. They got to sell it in these stores and make sure it's sold, and a lot is sold, and so on and so forth. That is center versus periphery. And that, anytime the word emtza is mentioned in Chazal, and it's mentioned mostly as a very, very positive value, and there's down here on the footnote, there's a list of a few places where the Maral speaks about emtza is not gashmi, emtza shayach l'ketusha, olam hashov emtza, a lot of places where he uses this term emtza to mean that. And that is also why emtza is one. By definition, emtza is where all the points transverse, all the different axes transverse, and you get a midpoint, at the intersection, you get a midpoint that includes all of the different axes that can transverse that figure. L'kach beis hamikdash v'yerushalayim sheim echad bilvad, or sheim echad. That's why the beis hamikdash and Yerushalayim are one, because they are meant to take the entire world and bring it into one focus. The world has a million different things going on. What's the tachlis of it all? If without the Beis HaMikdash, where the tachlis is to bring everything to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the world doesn't have a point that brings it together. And that's the reason why the Lamites Malachis are connected, the Lamites Malachis of the Mishkan, and also connected Bryas HaOlam, because the Beis HaMikdash includes in itself a microcosm of the entire world. It has to be that way. Because since the Beis HaMikdash is the focal point of the entire world, the Beis HaMikdash is the point on earth where animals have meaning, and plants have meaning, and shtia has meaning, and achila has meaning, and akhtara has meaning, and zvicha has meaning. Anything that is an important element in the world finds its place there. So if the world consists of lamed, of Bryas HaOlam consists of a certain amount of pa'ulos, a certain amount of essential activities, they, in a miniature way, will be found in the Beis HaMikdash. So by looking at what makes the Beis HaMikdash a Beis HaMikdash, you can properly extrapolate to what made the world into a world. And and they are located in the middle of the world, it's Gemara and Yuma, ki ha'emtzai u'misugalhem. Because the right appropriate place, position for that is the midpoint. V'chein Yisrael shem amechad. Klal Yisrael is one nation. V'misugalem ha'oretz shu echad bovat, fishu v'emtza oilam. Now, Klal Yisrael being one nation, I also want to explain. I mean, we say a whole tefillah on that. Ata echad, v'shimcha echad, v'mika amcha Yisrael goy echad ba'oretz. Amiyachtim shimcha. The Gemara is the pasuk that it says, Chazal say that all Umas Olam, Rashi says, have in themselves Melachim, Mehem Melachim, Mehem Neviim, Mehem Kohanim. Every different Umas Olam have different tchunos. Some Umas Olam have Kohanim, some have Melachim, some have others. Klal Yisrael is unique. It's a krocha de kula, Rashi says. It's a city, or it's an entity that has everything in it, because all, anything that can be found in the Bria, you find in Klal Yisrael, because Klal Yisrael is kol everything. So b'meila, Klal Yisrael, when it's b'tikunai, is a focal point for everything the world does, and b'meila it has to be able to incorporate it. It has to be able to use the yofi of Yavan, of Yafes, if we're on the Inyan al-Yayma. It has to be able to use the mincha that Esav is going to bring back. It has to be able to use the inyanim of each the brachas that was supposed to give to Esav. Everything that's supposed to have a messias in the world is, Klal Yisrael knows how to make use of it. So Klal Yisrael is Am Echad, and then Be'emtza, because that's Mesugal. Klal HaDavar, Davar Shu Echad Mesugal HaEmtza. And that which goes away from that midpoint is Keneged 4, which is going out in four directions, Sheish from Yitzim and HaEmtza. And therefore, Malchis Him Dalit, those Malchis that are the standard bearers of going away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there are four different Malchis. Keneged Dalit, Ruchas, HaYetzim and HaEmtza. V'lachein darash min lashon toyev avoyah dalet machis. That's why the drasha of toyev avoyah chazal dash dalet machis, they said the following. The pasuk says that before HaKadosh Baruch Hu put the Bria together, the world had problems. In other words, gracious Baruch Lekim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a Bria, and the Bria as such had four weak points. That Tohu, Vohu, Choshech, and Tohu. Those four areas are the fringes of the kingdom, so to speak, where the kingdom is cut short, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Malchus just doesn't extend anymore. What they have in common is this thing. Their kingdom contradicts HaKadosh Baruch Hu's kingdom, and they ke'ilu proclaim HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not one. Ubesiluk dalet malchis elu nema. So these Dalet Malchus are kilu astira. They're kilu saying there are areas in the world that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not exist, and therefore the astira is Malchus, and when HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be mevatel the Malchus, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be lemelech hakol haaretz v'yemo yehashem echad u'shmei echad. I want to add, I saw it say recently that it says that so yes, can it be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not the Melech HaKol HaOlam? So he says, the Pashta Hesber, the right Hesber, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Memshala, which is his ability to rule by force, dominates the world. That is independent of whether people like it or not. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu declares Edom to be Batul, whether Edom wants it or not, it's Batul. HaKadosh Baruch Hu declares Yavon to be Batul, it's Batul. All of those in Yanim, there is no factor of the lack of power of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the Malchus is where the world, like it's very famous, from it's much earlier than the Gemara, Malchus HaBerotz HaKibul Aleihem, Malchus means where the world itself declares HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where the world shows HaKadosh Baruch Hu. As long as you have the Dalet Malchus, it means there are areas of the world, specifically the fringes, that proclaim by the very being HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not Melech, that the world is has parts to it that are astira. The Kolzman she'ele Dalet Malchus moishtim ba'olam and kved Hashem yisbarach nigla ba'olam. And as long as these Dalet Malchus are in the world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not nigla. Lekach elu Dalet Malchus mitzad achisoyen she'esh bebriya. So these malchus come from this chisor. It's recapping. The ein chisor as a mitzvah Hashem is from like he said before. The lirmos as a kasa b'esh b'al kibush shleim. Oretz what I say before you. Ki oretz he tachtoinim. Lekach is a soyer avoyu chesh rapnei tohay. Kol ze chisor she dava ku mitzur from dava acha. V'chol elu shem estoyer avoyu shleim b'riyah b'shleimus from malchus zon b'riyah. So he is coming to he's recapping what he said until now. These Dalet Malchus come, that's what we saw in the Bria. They are four ways away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they are steered to his Malchus, and as long as they're there, the Malchus doesn't stand. Then he continues. Umitzad HaChisoyen HaZeh Shoei B'Bria Omdu Dalet Malchus Elu Shelokcha Malchus MiYisrael. There's a very, very important point over here. There's a Shaila in the Rishonim that in himself, the Malchus, how can we say Dalet Malchus and not Yishmael? What about Yishmael? Yishmael is a Malchus. What about Mitzrayim? I mean, Mitzrayim was plenty wicked, and why don't we say five Malchus? Why don't we say six Malchus? Yishmael actually is a big child of Rishonim, that Nezer does include it. He says later on the following. The common denominator of these Dalet Malchus is that they took the Malchus away from Klal Yisrael. And let's explain that. Fine, it's true. Mitzrayim never took it away from Klal Yisrael. Yishmael didn't take it away from Klal Yisrael. They fought Klal Yisrael. These Dalet Malchus were a succession. Klal Yisrael lost it to Babel. Babel lost it to Paras. Paras lost it to Yavam. Yavam lost it to Rome. So what's the significance that they took it from Klal Yisrael? Big deal. If the wicked, they're all wicked. Big Malchus, Yishmael is a tremendous Malchus. Mitzrayim was a tremendous Malchus, and so on. What's the pshat they took it? The pshat is like this. let's say somebody was the strong man in town for a long time, and then I overthrow him. That does not show a chisaron in me. This person had a head start on me. He was the mayor in town. He was the strongest person in town. And I came along, and at some point I overthrew him. That's not pointing out that it was a weakness of me that I wasn't king till now. I wasn't now. I didn't try, or whatever. Once I become a melech, or whatever it is, a strong person, a ruler, and somebody takes it away from me, that person exploited a certain weakness of mine. This guy might have outfoxed me. This guy might have out-wrestled me. This person might have outbroke me. Each one that took it from me, it means that it was pointing at something lacking in me. Anything that, let's say somebody else sets up a shop, for instance, somebody else, I set up a shop here and I make $1 million a year. And somebody sets up a shop 100 miles away and makes $1 billion a year. The two don't have real cash with each other. If the guy opens up a cross for me and he draws away business from me, so there I see a chisaron in me. The fact that I made $1 million here and he made $1 billion there, I don't see anything to do with me. It's his strength. And I don't know. I don't know if it's a weakness of mine that's exploited. It could be in a better location or whatever. The malchis that we're talking about here are not the wicked, bad, terrible people, even those that plague Kal Yisrael. We're talking specifically about this phenomena where in Toiv you have problems. At every edge something is unraveling and you have a problem over there. That expresses itself in the malchis that came and destroyed Klal Yisrael. Those malchias that unraveled different threads in Klal Yisrael were a simonim of where the malchus has problems. Let me give it a mashal that I think, in a historical perspective, something that I always have strong feelings about. Klal Yisrael goes through a tremendous amount of tkufis. Our history is awesome in the tkufis and the happenings and so on. There are two types of events. One type of event is kingdoms that turned against us. Spanish Inquisition, England threw us out, France threw us out, Germany persecuted us, not once, not twice, but plenty of times. We were tossed about here, tossed about there, the Muslims were against us, pro us, against us, fine. Those are all different forces. So, as from a sharp point of view, those are the Sionis that Gershbach sent us. Big tzaddikim and big Bali Ruach HaKodesh are able to say that this came because it is, this came because it is, this came because of that. Fine. Those are in Yonim Api Nister. We don't have that capability. Whatever Gedolim told us, they told us. Fine. There's another area that I think is important to understand when you look at Jewish history and it's been a Shnei's Tarev Adar. There were a lot of problems over the generations with Klal Yisrael themselves having Rifyon, having weaknesses. Whether it was the Haskalah, whether it was secular Zionism, whether it was any movement that sort of, whether it was socialism or communism in the turn of the century, the last century. Those are all things that a person has to ask himself, what happened? So it's very easy to say the outside factors, which is fine, definitely always the outside factors. But how did it happen in Klal Yisrael? How did people in the 1800s or the late 1700s stop believing in Torah? How did Emunah unravel? And Emunah in the Amitus of Torah. How did the communism creep in? And how did secularism creep in? All of those point a certain chisaron in what we had established. In other words, when a person establishes a defense system, and then somebody invades the defense system, so yes, the other person is strong. But I have to ask myself, you gain nothing by cursing the person that invaded it. You have to ask yourself, where was the hole in the fence? Somewhere along the line, I think HaKadosh Baruch Hu keeps inspecting what we constructed and keeps pointing out where there was a nekud of chisaron that allowed something to unravel. Learning from the mistakes is understanding if the Dalet Malchus took over, each one exploited a certain weakness. And the chisaron is there. And once we come to grips with it, you acknowledge it. It's like the Marshall, any type of diagnostics. In my days, I still remember the way they checked for cavities many, 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 many years ago was they had like a little bellows that they would blow on the tooth. And wherever you jumped and it hurt, there's a cavity there. Now, somebody would say, well, the dentist is just, say this, no, he's looking for how to hurt you. No, where you jump is a sign that he's hit on something. I remember as a kid, I used to think, after they finished with the bellows, they used to have these prongs, which they still use them, I used to think that he makes holes for business with the prongs. That was my, I always thought, like, why does he keep digging in deeper and deeper? Like why didn't he just pass over it? I used to think that he sort of digs in a little cavity to give him business for, or whatever. But the Teretz says those are the weak spots, that there's something there. So, those Hisroinos, לקח המלכי ישראל, okay. So, ומצד החיסרון הזה, שבי עומד דף, אז שלוקחו המלכס מישראל. We're specifically looking for מלכיוס that took it away from כלל ישראל. אשר אומה הזה is נברס לכבוד השם יספרך. This אומה, כלל ישראל, it represents כבוד יספרך. That's the מציאס. The מציאס of כלל ישראל is כבוד יספרך. And those אומות that took away the מלכס are the ones that are כאילו hepek kvetchmein. They are the place where there's a weakness in the existing kvetchmein that allows for non-kvetchmein. Ukirchsiv amzu yotzateli tilosi zapeilu. Ve'elu arba malchias shenochlu hamalchus miYisrael he mevatlim kvetis barach oelam azatafte. And these four malchias that took malchus away from Klal Yisrael are keilu a stira to that. Lemoshel, Bavel said, you know, worshiping God is nice, but if you have a lot of zaras to worship, it's even better. Para said that if you dig into the chumris of this world, into the shul of the world, then it's better. Yovan said that chachma is a better deal. Edom had his particular angle of ra. All of those are, by taking the malchus of Yisrael away, they're saying, you see, at this point, we're superior. Ve'elo abba malchus shenochlo al malchus miyisrael mivatak v'yisbal v'yisbal v'yisbal. Ki af yimotzei even though there is something good in these malchias, haloi loy me uktsam, haloi me dufsham, Hashem isbarach chafix. Ki ikka kvoidei mashu isbarach echav loylom evein zelosei. Dover zeh, okay, I want to explain this because it's a very important point. It's a point because to some degree it's still nogea now. The first thing he says is, even though we all have something good, still, why is he forced to say that they have something good? The answer is because, since we're talking about Malchias that straddled the border of Emes with Klal Yisrael, there must be something good there. We're not talking about an alternative Malchus, where a person sets up a Malchus. For instance, if somebody develops a completely alternate set of ideas, we say that good is the thing we should run after. And somebody says, gets up with his own philosophy, bad is something you should run after. So I could say there's absolutely nothing worthwhile in what he's saying. But let's say somebody's coming from my Beis Medrash. He's learning Torah, and he says, lefi this, I have a different maskana. So I can't say it's entirely worthless, because he's coming from where I'm coming from. These Dalet Malchias are straddling the fence, and they're saying, chachma, okay, but there's a chachma that's chitzenius. Malchus, yes, but there's a Malchus of Resha, and so on. There must be something good, because that's the nature of these Malchus, the way the Maral just described them. I want to elaborate on it on a practical note, because it is something that people hear often. You hear this statement constantly. Judaism believes there's something valuable in everything, and there is value in Chachmas u'Masoilam, and there is value in this, and there's value in that. We're not isolationist or insulationist or this. We believe in the Yaifi that's there, and there's good and everything, and so on and so forth. Like all statements, because it's a mixture of good and bad, and it's a very general statement, it's hard to argue with it. It's hard to argue with it because that statement does have something true to it. And there's a statement in Yiddish where we say that a halbe emes is a ganze lie, a half a truth is a total lie. What it means is like this. Is there in the chachma of the world, forget about science a minute, which is a very different type of chachma, but in philosophy, in ideas and thoughts that people who are deep and thoughtful came up with, is there value? Obviously, there are things of value in it, but that doesn't mean that swallowing it, lock, stock, and barrel, is good. Because what it means is the following. the philosopher might have discovered a train of thought that's true, but not for the purpose that he's harnessing it. He's saying the main thing a person should do is seek pleasure. That statement is true only if you harness it to the idea that pleasure exists only in Olam Haba. If that means, therefore, get in Olam Hazeh, Mr. Shon says that can't be a tainuk, because it never ever gives a person real fulfillment. So here you have a statement where if you learn it as philosophy, and you take it the way it's written, it's sheker, but it's built on something that's emes. L'nivra adam elis aneg, in the Mishnah Sesharim, is a true statement. But that was, Epicurus had the same statement. They agree, the line of Mishnah Sesharim exists in both philosophies. The difference is, well, what are you doing with that trend of thought? Where are you taking it to? Just to say that studying, chachmas umas olam is valuable is a terribly misleading statement, because unless you know how to sift the emes from the sheker, then adrava, you're much worse off. So understanding the worst, for instance, a person has no medicine, and he needs a medicine, he's in trouble. But let's say he goes to a pharmacy that it was just flooded or whatever, and all the bottles are mixed up. That's much worse than not having any medicines, because he could actually get poisoned. You know, his heart needs a stimulant, and not only is he not getting a stimulant, but he's getting something that slows it down, that's a relaxant. The chachma, the problem with the chachma of the Gaon Tamin, or the Tarevis of Toiv, these malchias all have an agenda. Any chacham of Umas Olam, besides the wisdom that he was aiming on, he's got his agenda. And he's taking that same chacham and using his agenda. And unless the person has that tremendous insight where he can pass the agenda from the etzem observation, then it's much worse. So the statement that there is good things outside the malchus, outside the Yisrael, yes, Chazal said so. And like the Maral says, anything that's sort of intersected with Chayisrael, at the point of intersection, you're dealing with Toiv. The question is, but if you just swallow it and you don't have the awesome amkus to be able to sift out one of the other, then you're much worse off. So there is a phenomenon of Dalat Malchus that share a border with Chayisrael. And in that, the Edom is a very organized person. Is Seder something good? Very good. Seder, all of them also speak about how wonderful organization is. The Germans were master organizers. So when someone say, well, the Germans were murderers, but they get an A+ for Seder and Nikayon. They were very clean and organized. They took letters and organized an organization and moved it to Ra. You can't just say, oh, here's an example of orderliness and cleanliness. You know, everybody's marked off, it was checked off. Understanding that the Ra starts when the Ra of these Dalat Malchus start when you take Nekudos that are of Emes and move them over. Instead of pointing inwards, you take that same Nekuda and you start an arrow pointing outwards. Okay.